Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour as we get into all kinds of different things. Jim Traber coming up at 9:30. We'll pick his brain about all things locally and also nationally in the sports world. High school hoops back at it. It was such a weird weekend thinking, okay, you're playing Saturday. Like, especially for the small schools, when Arapahoe boys, Canute boys won on Saturday, I'm like, all right, they're in the state tournament. Oh, no, that's just the first round of area. There's still two more days to go. So we'll tell you what happened on the high school hardwood on Saturday, what's coming up today, as a couple of teams in the Paragon Network and two teams they're playing locally have a chance to punch tickets to this week's state tournament up in Oklahoma City. So that's what a lot of the show is going to consist of, is what happened in the high school hoops, what's going on today with our broadcast schedule. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. It's 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show by logging on KADSAM.com or download the app. The Paragon Communications app has all things. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, Big Elk TV, and Paragon TV, both on the air tonight. We'll tell you when and who's playing coming up. And then, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, and also KADSAM.com. If you want to go back and listen to what we had to say, if you missed a show sometime throughout the week, you can do it that way right there. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
Good. How was your weekend?
Busy. Busy.
You were all over the map.
All over. I did a big circle around the state, it felt like. But it was fun, though. I watched a lot of basketball, right? It's basketball season.
Little kid basketball, high school
little
basketball.
Little kid basketball, middle kid basketball. I say middle kid as like the sixth grade group. Got to watch them a little bit. And then, of course, a high school game Saturday night. And that was on Saturday. And then on Sunday, yesterday, went back to the city and did a couple more games. Shout out to my kids' team. Came in second in this tournament in the city. Pretty stiff competition against some older girls. Pretty fun. That's all I got to say about that. There's a lot I could say about that, but I don't want to get in trouble.
Discretion.
Someone kept asking me, how's the show going to be Monday morning, Jared? Well, I'll get at it. I had time. I slept on it, and I've calmed down. So it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend. And now we got a full week of basketball this week, man.
It's coming.
It feels like we only have one day off. That's about it.
It is. It's the best time of the year. It's coming. Tell us what happened down in Cash on Saturday night.
Man, let me tell you about Cash Saturday. I got there right at half of the first game between the Navajo girls and Calumet girls, where Calumet was up 18 on Navajo, and the Navajo clawed their way back into it, won that game by 4 points. And then I got into the Southwest Covenant boys game and Carnegie game. Carnegie up double digits. I forget by how much double digits at one point in the game in the third quarter. And then Southwest Covenant crawled back. They got it within single digits into the fourth. I looked at somebody and said, we got a ball game. Southwest Covenant winds up winning. So it's two out of two really good games. So our game, the Canute girls taking on the 7th-ranked OCA Lady Eagles, Oklahoma Christian Academy. Canute played fantastic that game. They did exactly what I thought they should do, play their game, meaning keep it low scoring and be very methodical with their offense and let Kylie Smith get hers, and she did. She finished with 22 points. But credit OCA, good teams know how to win in the clutch, and that's what they did there in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth, and won the game and ended Canute's season. They won it 48-45. Man, shout out to Canute, though. I mean, they proved that they, were worthy of being in that game, and dang near had a chance to win it. But it was a young squad, only two seniors graduating, Abby Janning and Macy Teeter moving on. They'll be missed, but they got some young talent coming up. And Coach Tatum Rilling's first year, I think she's laid the groundwork for something special in the future. So just a tough one to go out on, though, because you walked away from that one thinking, man, had the opportunities to win that game. More than one opportunity, just couldn't get it done. Canute boys, they were tied 37-37 against Calumet. Calumet ranked sixth in Class A. They were tied up 37-37 going into the fourth quarter. Canute outscored Calumet 26-8 in that fourth quarter. Colt Randall hit a couple big three-pointers in that fourth frame. So did Jackson Beck. He hit one. He's always good for one. He hadn't hit one all game until he hit one in that fourth quarter. And Canute went one going away. Kyron Winery played fantastic underneath the bucket. He had 16 of his 20 points, all from within maybe 3 or 4 feet of the hoop. I had countless young men getting him the ball, and they were great precision passes. And that's one of the elements of the game. If you could be a good passer, you're going to play a lot. And there's a lot of them that did that. Kobe Maddox did that. Colt Randall did that. Getting him inside to Kyron Winery. He'd finish at the hoop. Finish with 20 points. And Canute got their 20th win, going away, winning 63-45. So they survive. They advance. They play today, 3 o'clock, against Southwest Covenant. A very winnable game. Still got to show up and win. I think, oddly enough, we were talking about this yesterday with all the parents, was kind of nice to have a day off in between these games. You know, it's kind of nice how that worked out. You know, I'm sure they had a little shoot around yesterday and then, you know, a little light practice and a little scouting and go home and relax. Get back at it again today at 3 o'clock for a chance to play or get that win. Play tomorrow, 8 o'clock, versus the loser of Hydro Weekly and Surreal. They play tonight at 8 o'clock. And then who knows? I mean, they're both very winnable games if Canute plays with – I'll put it this way. I think – and I've said this a lot this year, maybe not on this mic, but – to other fans and other parents and people talking with, the only team I think sometimes can beat Canute is Canute. When they don't play within themselves, they don't play their game, everybody knows their role, and maybe some guy's trying to do too much, or maybe some guy's just not trying to do enough when they should be, then they can falter. Saturday night was a prime example. When everybody does their job and does it well and plays smart, they're a very good team. We saw that early in the year. They were ranked top six early in the year, and then they kind of faltered a little bit. Hopefully they get back to that sixth ranking, how they played early in the year. Again, very winnable game today, and who knows tomorrow, whoever your opponent may be. Gives yourself a chance. You're that close to punching a ticket to the Big House. So it's exciting. I was thinking about it. I mean, there's a chance here for Canute. So, but again, have to show up tonight or this afternoon. Can't overlook this 13-9 Southwest Covenant team. It's a team that plays some tough competition, kind of like OCA. Those girls, they had a 19-6 record, but they played some stiff competition and it showed. So Canute's better show up and again play within themselves. They're going to be okay. And we got other games too.
Yeah, that's interesting though, because when you look at the score of that Canute game, you assume they just blew them out, 63-45. I had no idea it was tied going in the fourth quarter until just now.
Tell you what, Calumet never led until the fourth quarter. They got a 40-39 lead in the fourth.
And then from the
golly. And then Canute was like, you know what? We're not doing this. And then they hit it, like I mentioned, golly, a couple of big threes.
So 24-5 to finish?
Yeah.
Man, that's a good close. No doubt about it for the Canute Trojans. So Canute at 3. I was at Kingfisher for 4A regional consolation action. The Elkettes, man, they just fell behind early. A barrage of threes from here. I think they hit 4 in the first quarter. 6 in the first 10 minutes of the game, maybe, because they came right out in the second quarter and hit a couple. From there, they cooled off, but at that point, Elk City was just so far behind, they weren't able to get all the way back into it. They cut it to 7 early in the fourth. Haley Bowie hit a 3 on the left wing. The very next possession down, looks like Hera double dribbles. The double dribble doesn't get called. Elk City commits a foul, 2 free throws later. Now, instead of down 7 with the ball, you're down 9.
Yeah.
And that was kind of as close as it ever got. So the Elkettes season ends 12-13. I think they won 7 more games than they did last year. So, you know, an improvement, obviously, but not what the playoffs, what you wanted to see there for the Elkettes. The Big Elks, they came out and were fantastic. They did to Hera what Woodward did to them in the district game. It was 36-13 at halftime. I mean, it was just a great performance outside of the third quarter. And then all of a sudden, Hera outscored Elk City. At one point, it was 19-2. They got all the way back within seven to start the fourth quarter. But then in the early part of the fourth quarter, the Elks slammed the door, outscoring Hera 11-2 to start the quarter. Next thing you know, it's all the way out to back to an 18-point lead, and the Elks coasted from there, and they win 60-49. So Elk City's still alive on the boys' side in the 4A bracket. They will play McLeod tonight at 8 o'clock, another elimination game. Let's stay down in the small schools. Both Arapahoe-Butler teams played on Saturday with their seasons hanging in the balance. The Lady Indians were knocked off by Laverne 51-40, so Arapahoe-Butler's Lady Indian season ends. A really, really good season. Katie Edlin had 19 for the Lady Indians in a loss. She's back next year, right? She was just a junior, sure. And so that's anytime she's going to be on the floor for Arapahoe-Butler, that bodes well for the Lady Indians. I know that's you know, you got to fill in pieces around her, obviously, but you got that coming back. But then the Indians held on. I'm going to have to go back and watch the end of that game because I was like you, checking scores on the app, and I'm like, okay, it's 40 or it's I think it was 43-35 with like 2 minutes left is what it said. I'm like, okay, Arapahoe Butler's winning this one. And then I finally checked the final just to make sure, and I see 43-42. So Ceiling got it all the way back within a point. So I'm going to have to go back and watch the end of that one. To see how it happened. But Arapahoe-Butler wins. The boys will play today against Visalia at 3 o'clock. And they're in exactly the same boat as Canute. A win, and you play tomorrow night to go to the state tournament. A loss, obviously, and the season's over. So two pressure-packed games there for Class A boys teams in our Paragon Network. Also, let's see, we had Merritt in the 2A regional tournament in the winner's bracket side on Saturday night. Oilerettes held on to win 37-33. So Merritt's into the regional final tomorrow night against Hooker, and the Oilers are as well. Is that Merritt Oilers knocked off Watonga 75-62. Watonga was top 8 team in that regional, so that's a huge win for Merritt to beat Watonga there. On the boys' side, they also play Hooker in the 2A area, regional finals. So really good, really good stuff. I was debating talking about this. We just had the question on the text line.
I saw that. I kind of forgot until it was brought up here.
All right, so let's run down the broadcast schedule today before we get to the chili cook-off. So at 3 o'clock, Paragon TV, you will be down in Cache for Class A Area 3, a consolation action between Canute and Southwest Covenant. At that exact same time, up in Enid, Class A Area 1, boys action between Arapahoe-Butler and Visalia. Both those games, 3 o'clock. Tonight, we've got area finals from Woodward. On Paragon TV, it's Hammond and Arnett on the girls' side, the Lady Warriors and Lady Wildcats. That is a 6:30 tip, followed by Leedy and Mountain View Godibo on the boys' side. So two of those four teams will punch a ticket to the state tournament tonight. And then also at 8 o'clock from Kingfisher, I'll be there, Big Elk TV, and also Cool 94 for Radio, Elk City, and McLeod. That's an 8 o'clock tip on the boys' side. That's an elimination game in Class 4A regional action. So that's the five we've got going today. Hopefully there will be three tomorrow, right? Because you don't want a Hammond or Leedy game.
Right.
And you want a Canute or Arapahoe and an Elk City game.
That's right.
That's what we're looking for. And then the only difference would be the times would be flipped. You'd be at night and I'd be during the day, if that's what happens. So that's the schedule. You can check that out, Paragon TV's Facebook page, if you have any doubts of what time and where the games will be. It's right there. Paragon TV Facebook page will have the schedule daily. Also, as customary here at Paragon Communications, we will have all four state title games on Saturday. It's radio only just because we're in the big house and the OSSA restrictions with their contract with NFHS. We can't film it, but we will have it covered for you live on the radio. No matter who is in it, we'll have all four games. You can listen through Paragon TV on the front page, and you can see the scoreboard. We'll have that up, or you can hear it on Cool 94. All those games will be on Cool 94. I guess the only hiccup there would be if the Big Elks are planning to go to the state tournament, that maybe the last game or so might have to switch over to KADS. But right now, the plan is for all of it on Cool 94, and hopefully we have to make that change. Okay, so the chili cook-off.
The chili cook-off.
I was the defending champion of the Baptist Church chili cook-off. Things got started a little bit different this time for my chili because I wasn't paying attention at Walmart on Friday, and I purchased big old cans of diced tomatoes instead of tomato sauce.
Oh.
Good news was, though, we got everything prepped on Saturday morning before I had to go to Kingfisher. So all the veg was chopped up. The meat was browned. And that meant we could get, I got it on before we even went to Sunday school yesterday. So what I'm saying is it had time to cook down. You didn't even really know that it was any different by the time all the tomatoes cooked down and essentially made a sauce.
Okay.
And so from there, I was pretty pleased with my entry. I was told later that, no, I did not win. Congratulations to Stacy Valdez. She was the winner this year. It turns out in 3 years, I'm the only male that's been able to win. Danielle won the first year. I won the second year. Now Stacy wins this year. But I know I was toward the top, according to the judges. I knew I was in trouble when I looked around the church yesterday morning and I didn't see my man Topper.
Okay, why would that?
Because Topper loves my chili, and he always gets to be a judge. He always volunteers to be a judge, and he wasn't there. And I thought, man, like, he is solidly in my corner, to the point where, like, after the first year, he came out and he goes, I liked yours the best. I'm going to be a judge next year. And he was scheduled to be.
Shouldn't that be like a blind test?
It is, but he, knows. He kind of, he just does. My chili fits his flavor flavor profile just right.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I mean, everybody's got different taste buds. There's no doubt about it. You know, that's what I was, the little guys were like, oh man, yours was better. I'm like, listen, it doesn't matter what you think. It just matters what the judges think, because everybody tastes things differently.
Right.
Hers was good. I actually tasted it once
So I was wondering, did you get to taste the
absolutely.
Winners?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. It was good. The only different, I mean, the one thing that it's like I said, it's a personal preference, right? The one thing that was in the winter that I would never have is beans.
Okay. Some people prefer it. Some people don't.
That's right. I just don't think chili should have beans. Just the way, you know, that's just, like I said, though, it's a personal preference, because when you looked up there, a majority had beans. I think I was one of only two or three out of 11 that did not have beans.
Okay. I don't think I've ever thought of if I like the beans in my chili or not.
Interesting.
I don't think I've ever went, you know what? I'd rather I not have beans, or I'd rather have beans. I just eat the chili and go, that's good. Well, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever's
honestly,
on the spoon, I just eat it.
I think I sampled 7 of the 11, maybe. And part of it was because a couple of them were gone by the time I got around to because I was helping to serve and all that. And they were good. There was a couple chicken chilies.
Had chicken chili, yes.
They were both good. There was a lot of good chili there. And I'll tell you what else there was. Oh, Drew wants to know how, when they. I don't know. I don't know how they do the taste test. I know they all take them back with the numbers. Everybody gets a number. I saw this, and then they get little cups. And so the judges never even get to go into the fellowship hall. When they get there, they go across the hallway into one of the classrooms and just wait for the chilies to come to them.
To be delivered.
Yes,
to them.
They're delivered to them. So they don't have any biases by knowing anything. They get, and everybody, all the cups have numbers on them, and they fill them up and take them to them. Now, once they're in the room tasting, I did see they had, like, pieces of paper, so I don't know that, like, scoring. They were scoring it some different ways. I'll have to ask Tawny, because she was one of the judges, and see exactly how that worked out, what they're judging for. But I know it was a fun night. Fun night at the old Baptist church with the chili. And by the way, chili, whatever.
Sounds to me like no matter what, everybody's a winner in a chili cook-off.
And guess what? Not only the chili, there was a bunch of good-looking cornbread. And you know what else there always is? Any old Baptist get-together with food? Amazing homemade desserts.
Oh, of course. Of course.
The dessert table was off the charts.
I'm a cherry fan. What kind of cherry dessert?
I think it was a cherry cobbler.
Cobbler?
Yes. There was, I hate to admit, but I sampled three different desserts. Banana pudding was awesome. We made some brownies, which I'm just a sucker for brownies, just chocolate brownies. And then there was also like a, you know what chocolate goodie is? It's like the whipped cream and the chocolate mousse over like the graham cracker crust.
Oh, okay.
It's called other things.
Yeah, I know the, yeah, I don't know. Than, I don't think I've ever known what it was called. Okay.
So it was that there was one that was like that, except for instead of the graham cracker crust, it was a brownie.
Oh.
Oh, listen.
Oh, my goodness.
Talking about turning it up a notch.
Oh, yes.
There was pie. There was all kinds of stuff.
Man.
I ran out of space. I shouldn't have eaten so much chili. I should have just went straight to the, I may be like walking diabetes if I'd have done that today. But no, it's fun night.
Well, good.
Fun night. I did not win. So congratulations to Stacy Valdez. Like, she is the winner.
I need up your game. Pay attention to what you're buying next time. Do you think it was the tomatoes that did it?
No, I don't know. Did it? You know, last year I used deer meat.
Right.
This year I'm using hamburger meat, which I thought, honestly, when I was headed there, I thought, this is winning. And it didn't. Joined now by the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing good. I'm glad that the cold weather's gone. It looks like we're going to have a nice week this week. And hopefully on Sunday, I'm going to get to experience Obrate Stadium for the first time. I think we're going to try to go after the state tournament on Saturday night. We're going to try to slip up to Stillwater and catch the Cowboys and Gonzaga.
Well, very good. Yeah, you're gonna love it. It's amazing. They did about as good a job on the stadium as you could. And I'll tell you what, that game last night, I know this sounds really stupid, but they really needed to come back and win that game last night against Wright State, because if they were 3-3 right now, it's a big difference between 3-3 and 4-2, because losing that stupid midweek game to Sam Houston State, you know, I said after, you guys know me. I don't get too fired up, man. I know something's really impressive. I think OSU's baseball team's got a chance to be really good this year. I mean, really good, the best they've been in a while. But when you go and beat Vanderbilt, you know, 2 out of 3, that's awesome. But you can't lose to Sam Houston State, because all those little things matter when it comes down to seeding and, you know, will you get home field. And that's the way you do it, fellas. I mean, when we went to the, you know, World Series over and over and over again, the very first year was my first, you know, I was there, and we went to Oral Roberts, only four teams back then, you know, four teams, you go, you beat them, and then you go to the World Series, so a lot different. But then every other time they went, it was because, I mean, not because, but they were, you know, we were playing in Stillwater. So that's the key for OSU baseball. You got to get all the wins that you can, so that your resume looks really good. I mean, the stadium is just incredible to host a regional, but you got to be good enough. So, good thing they came back last night and won that game, because I thought, man, splitting with them won't be good.
Yeah, well, they scored four runs in the last inning, in the bottom of the ninth, to tie it up, and then go ahead and win.
Yep. Yep, they sure did. They needed it. Needed it very, very badly.
Oh, excuse me. All right, so on Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, Bedlam and Norman, just a horrible game. I mean, it's so hard to watch those two teams play each other, but Oklahoma ends up winning in overtime, making a steal at the end and getting a layup that proved to be the difference. If you're Oklahoma, they're obviously off the bubble at this point. What do they have to do in Kansas City coming up next weekend? Obviously, probably need to win both this week. How many do they need to win in Kansas City to get back into that conversation of trying to be an NCAA tournament team?
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to play probably in that 8-9 game, right? More than likely.
If they're able to win both this week, they would not play in that game. Otherwise, yes.
Well, if they don't win both this week, it's not going to matter.
Right.
But, if you know, look, I mean, if they play in the 8-9 game, well, if they get the 7th game, then they play the 2 teams, that obviously they'd have to win that. I think they got to win at least 1, maybe 2. But there is no 10 team because OSU's out. So if you're 7, then you don't have to play on the first day. So I don't know, man. You know, college basketball, it's such a trip nowadays. And I would say that OU does not look like a tournament team, but I'm watching a bunch of teams around the country that don't look like tournament teams either. So, heck, if they get there, they get there. But I think they'll have to at least – if they're the 7 seed, they're going to have to beat the 2, which will be like Baylor or something, right? I mean
mm-hmm. – Baylor or Tech.
Baylor or Tech. And then after that, if they're the 8 – if they are the 8 seed – then I think they'll have to win 2, you know, because they'll have to beat the 9, and then they'll have to beat Kansas. So I don't know. I think they're probably in trouble. That game, I've never seen two teams that can have stretches so many different games where they don't score. It's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, every game, both of them will have stretches of like 3, 4, 5 minutes where they don't score a point. I mean, in the beginning of that game, man, that was hard to watch now. I mean, really hard to watch. But OU figured out a way to win. I mean, if they would have won that game, what would it have been, 12 out of 14 they lost?
Yes, yep.
I mean, that's just crazy. And OSU is just unfortunately playing out the string here. And they went down there and played hard, though. I mean, you know, Bedlam games, I like Bedlam games, obviously, that are close and played well. But neither one of these teams play real good basketball. But it certainly was a close game. There's no doubt about that. So at least if you're going to watch basketball, it's not great. I hope, you know, at least it'll be a close game. That's good.
Yeah, I think I heard to your point. I was driving to Kingfisher for high school basketball as that game was finishing. I think I heard the OSU radio crew say that the Cowboys in two different stretches throughout that game went like 17 minutes and scored 3 points. One in the first half, one in the second half, combined them. That's basically half the game with 3 points.
It's incredible. I mean, it really is. The lack of scoring, both of these teams, and then have some stretches that are just beyond belief. But anyway.
I watched a third grade game like that this weekend. Girls.
Oh, man,
and we were excited.
On Saturday, it was something that's never happened. The top 6 in the AP poll in college hoops all lose. Does that bode well for a topsy-turvy NCAA tournament, you think? Or is it just one of those things where, I mean, when you looked at it, a couple of those games weren't really even upsets, with Arkansas favored over Kentucky, Tennessee was favored over Auburn out in the desert. Does that make you think, man, maybe a crazy March, or is it just one of those things that happen on a random Saturday?
No, I think there's a lot of teams that could win it. I mean, I really do. And that's fun. You know, it's more fun when instead of like, you know, I remember a long time ago, I'm sure you did, Jared's too young probably, but like when we knew that Duke and UNLV were playing, you know, I mean, we knew that they were going to play each other in the final. That's not happening this year. There's going to be 3 and 4 seeds that'll have a chance to win the thing. So that'll make the tournament better. College basketball needs just about anything they can get. So if they can get some real good games, you know, Barry Trammell brings it up all the time. You know, March Madness is the only thing that's holding them together. You know, everybody loves March Madness, even if the basketball's not any good, because they can look at their daggone, you know, brackets and all that other stuff. So hopefully for us, there'll be some really good games, and it'll be a great tournament. So, yeah, but I think there's probably 9-10 teams that could win it.
I like that you think I'm young. Thank you. Because me and Aaron aren't that far apart. Have you seen this letter from Kyler Murray's agent? And if so, what are your thoughts about this?
Oh, I mean, this whole thing is crazy. He wants money, in line with the current quarterback market. Well, I mean, don't you think that he'll get that? I mean, I don't understand that. I don't understand why. Is he not going to get the thing? I mean, I don't understand what's happened over the past 3 months. I mean, I wish you guys could help me. I mean, you know, it's like something internally is going on that we don't know. But Kyler Murray's going to get – he's going to be a max player, right? Am I wrong?
I don't think so. I think it's – that's what doesn't make any sense. It feels like this is about money, and that's coming anyway.
It'd be like if I'm sitting here in my living room and Julie is cooking, making me a grilled cheese sandwich. And while she's making me the grilled cheese sandwich, I go, hey, Jewel, will you make me a grilled cheese sandwich, please? You know, that's, I mean, that's what, that's, is that not what this is?
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't understand the problem. I mean, if they're not getting, if they treated him wrong or whatever like that, does it make it, if you're being treated wrong, does it make better sense for the agent to come out and say, well, we want this and we want that? If you're being treated wrong, go to him quietly and say, either treat me better or I want out. I don't, this is a weird deal to me. I don't know what's going on. And what really was weird is the game that they lost to the Rams, you know, that's the least amount he's ever run in a game. Well, I mean, what's going on? Is it because he's hurt? He can't do it? I don't know, man. I love you. I think you guys have heard me many times. I love Mitchell Kyler Murray. I do. I love watching the kid. I love that he's very unassuming and quiet and just kind of does his thing, you know. You know he's not going to be getting in trouble like the possibility of your guys, Baker Mayfield. But anyway, I don't know what's going on out there. I do know one thing. The Bidwell family has been known to be a very horrible ownership. So maybe they're doing something out there that we don't know about. But it really is it really is a trip to see this. He's asking for what he knows he's going to get? Well, I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense, and it does lead you down the road of, okay, so what's happening internally there that we don't know about, and why is he choosing this route to maybe not have it come to light, maybe the other way, okay, like almost take the distraction off of it and kind of shoulder that bloat? I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense for him.
I know one thing.
To do this.
There's a beautiful stadium that is right at the convergence of three rivers that would be more than happy to bring Kyler Murray in and treat him well. So if you want to leave out there, big boy, come to the Steelers. If Kyler Murray played for the Steelers, the rest of the league will be on notice. That would be nice. Not going to happen, but if he wants to get out, come on. I'd love to see you.
Yeah, I think that probably bodes for all but maybe two or three franchises in the entire NFL. Maybe Buffalo and Kansas City wouldn't take him, but after that, I think probably got everybody else in the league that would do that.
Well, by the way, I'm seeing now it says that Kyler Murray also wanted he wants to be the long-term quarterback and win a Super Bowl. So as Julie's making me that daggone grilled cheese, and she's got a thing of pickles out and a drink, I'll say, Julie, could you give me pickles and a drink as well? I mean, seriously, man, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I don't know what's going on.
He's dangerous. He's in this dangerous position where it's like he's almost holding his own franchise hostage in a weird way, just putting them in a weird position where they're like, well, "What do you? What more do you want us to do?" And reading that letter, it sounds. I mean, he's trying to. I don't know if he's trying to dictate more of who's coming into the franchise, who's not, who he wants on the team, who doesn't. I think that's a lot of the behind the scenes stuff we don't know, and it's.
Well,
it's
they
odd.
Went out and got a bunch of people for him this offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Hopkins the year before. This past year, they got J.J. Watt. They got A.J. Green. What does he want? I don't understand it. I just think that he's frustrated that he gets hurt every year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When you're little and you get hit by big old impressive dudes, you're probably going to get hurt some. But if you take away, see, this is one of the things I've talked about in the past. I'm cool with running quarterbacks, and Al and I have talked about this for years because he's really kind of talked me off of the, I like the big guy who can just stand back there and fire it, you know. But I do now understand that if you got a quarterback you can move, how valuable it can be. But this is where this part of the quarterback is really interesting. Last year, Lamar Jackson missed a bunch of games. Kyler Murray, it seems like he starts off just like a ball of fire, and then towards the end of the year, either gets hurt or doesn't play as well. So this running quarterback thing as well, but is good. But when you're little, you're going to get drilled. Like Josh Allen, nobody's hitting Josh Allen. He's as big as the dudes that are trying to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, fellas, those are little dudes, man. Little dudes.
Yeah, and is that maybe some of the, if there is hesitation on the Cardinals side, is that what it stems from? Because you're right, you know, Kyler, and he's paired with the exact right coach because Cliff Kingsbury's entire career has gone like this. Start out 5-0 at Tech, end up 6-5 or 5-7, whatever, you know, depending on what the schedule was. He's done it every year at Arizona. So is Kyler sensing maybe some hesitation on the Cardinals' side because to commit that much money, it's a constant topic on any radio show that talks about sports. When you commit that much money, all those guys they brought in for him, some of them have to go away.
Well, that's exactly right. And the Cleveland Browns are looking at that right now. But, you know, this Jarvis Landry thing, oh, maybe we'll just go on and do this, draft a wide receiver and blah, blah, blah. And then if somebody wants Baker Mayfield to get $40 million, then it's going to get worse. It's the way it is with a salary cap, guys. We all know that. That was one of the most amazing parts of New England and Tom Brady, you know, that they could just keep winning and winning. That's exact. But listen, it doesn't surprise me if the organization out there is a part of this thing because, I mean, that's the Bidwells. The Bidwells have been like that for years. And, you know, if they don't want this guy, then they should have never drafted him. Did they not realize that he runs any little? Did they not realize that? They should have gone and got some big, stoic, huge guy. Look, I'll tell you something. If you're a guy that one of the reasons why Tom Brady played the daggone long is they changed the rules to make it just such a specified game that you can barely touch the quarterback. But if you get out of that pocket, what's the rule? You're a running back. So if you're worried about paying somebody long term and you don't want to because they might get hurt, then don't draft a quarterback that's going to run. You know, quarterbacks don't get hurt anymore, guys. You notice that? Very rarely. We don't ever see dudes getting blindsided and all the things that we used to see. The ones that get hurt are the ones that run and get out of the pocket. Am I correct?
100%. Think about this. The one time Pat Mahomes got hurt, he was quarterback sneaking. And guess what they don't do anymore? They don't do a quarterback sneak on, you know, fourth and goal from the foot line. They took it away.
Point.
Yeah. You talked
a really
about,
good point.
Yeah, and what's weird is that it seems like the running quarterbacks or the mobile ones are the way the new age or what have you. And then when you look in the college game, that's kind of what there is now. So it's no surprise to me that then you end up with these guys nobody's ever heard of from the smaller schools that'll stand back there and throw it. You know, Pickett ended up being more of a household name as the season went along. But you wonder where are the quarterbacks going to start coming from if the NFL teams take a look at the running guys, realize they get hurt, and want to go back to the Mannings and the Tom Brady and the Ben Roethlisberger style of guys that stand back there.
I think it's hard, though, guys, because the quarterbacks are starting young nowadays, and they're playing guys that used to play running back and defensive back are playing quarterback.
Right.
And they're better athletes. And the money is at quarterback. You know, I look at that kid from Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a good player, but he can run. Corral can run from Mississippi. You know, I'm sitting here, you know, the fan of the Steelers need a quarterback, obviously. And I'm looking around, you know, kind of the draft and everything like that, and I'm sitting there, a guy that used to never say these words saying, well, I think we need to get a quarterback that can move. You know, it'll certainly help when your offensive line isn't great if he can make some, you know, something happen when they don't block. Then you got a really good running back, got really good wide receivers. So I'm sitting there, I want a quarterback that can move. So if I'm saying it, you know, everybody's saying it. So they're not going to change back. But there's also not a bunch of Dan Marinos coming through. Even the Manning kid, Arch Manning, I hear, can move, you know, around. So I don't know how many more, you know, statue quarterbacks we're going to have, guys. I really don't. I don't know if it's going to happen that much anymore. I think there are going to be more guys that can at least get out of the pocket and do something.
Yeah, and maybe that's the concession, is being able to move but not necessarily being like a run-first type guy. But we all know that when they get in the heat of the battle, trying to run for a first down, we just had a text on our text line. That's how Dak got hurt, trying to stretch a play out to get a first down to keep a drive going, you know, down toward the red zone. You can't take that competitiveness out of those guys. Otherwise, they won't be what you wanted them to be in the first place.
No. They have to. You can't tell them no. You can't tell them don't do it. If that's a part of their game, that's what makes them better.
Right.
I mean, Lamar. If Lamar Jackson couldn't run, fellas, he wouldn't be playing quarterback. I mean, I'm sorry. I know he won an MVP, and I know he's worked on his throwing. But you know, I watch them a lot because I'm a Steelers fan. And last year, before he got hurt, dude, he was throwing the ball terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if he couldn't move, then it would be it'd be tough for him to play the position. But yeah, so what I would say is, if I'm a general manager, I'm looking for a dude who can run and throw, but I'm looking for a guy who has a little bit of size.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to bring in a little guy. Little guys get hurt in the NFL. Okay, that's just the way. Now, big guys can get hurt too, but little guys have more of a chance. Kyler Murray, and he never gets a daggone hit on him. He's so quick and everything. And he still keeps getting hurt.
Yeah.
So
that,
it's good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right, because the little guys, even if they don't take like a huge shot, just the wear and tear over the in another game added to the regular season, now 17 of those, it's hard for those guys to stay healthy at the most important times of the year when you get them into the playoffs.
By the way, I just left Julie. If you heard her over here, she just had to sneeze. Yeah, it's a really interesting phenomenon because everybody's all fired up about the run and throw quarterback. Even I've jumped on board. But is it going to, you know, what are they going to say? You know, how are they going to do it moving forward? Pretty interesting stuff, really.
Is there any chance that we hear anything today positive with baseball? Or are we looking middle of March or so before realistically we see any games being played?
Well, I don't know, middle of March, I think.
All right, I'm sorry, May.
May, yeah. No, dude, they're so far apart, man. And I just read a little bit this morning. I was just looking at this thing, and I listened to Jeff Passan a little bit, and they're so far apart. The owners are trying desperately to, like, keep the players down. And, yes, they're making a bunch of money, but they're not making more money. You know, they keep the – they don't have an actual cap, but they have a tax line, and they're wanting to keep that the same and even bring it down a little bit, and the players want no part of that. It's all about money, and there's a lot of things that the Players Association have been upset about, so, the answer is no, they're not playing baseball. Not even close to playing baseball. Doesn't surprise me, but they're not even close. I think that as I've been talking about for a long time, I think May is when I think something will probably start to see games again, and then we'll see what the fans are going to do this time.
Yeah, they're going to lose a bunch of fans.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that's a better answer I would have anticipated. I'll be happy with May, but I'll be happy earlier than that. I'm a baseball guy.
Well, that's at best, Jerry.
Yeah.
At best, it's May, I think. I mean, they could lose it. They lose a full season, fellas. I don't even know what they're going to do with the game. By the way, I'm watching a commercial on TV for Mountain Dew, which, by the way, I really like. And they got daggone Simmons on there? Ben Simmons is in a daggone commercial? Who would put Ben Simmons in a commercial?
Well,
oh, you know what? It's my bad. It was Zach LaVine. I apologize. Ben Simmons.
What do you make of the way that, looks like the Harden-Embiid combo is looking pretty good offensively just through a small sample size of two games?
Yeah, they play two teams that play no defense. Minnesota's good, but they don't play any defense. We'll see. I mean, I'm not going to get all fired up about something after two things. You know, what James Harden is really good at is that when he gets his way, he becomes a new person. You know, he really does. He's like that little one of your children who's sitting over in the corner and pouting about something, and they're just pouting, and then finally you just go, okay, you can go ahead and have the ding-dong. And they jump up, and they're happy, and they hug you, and then they eat the ding-dong. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna go out on a big old limb. We'll see what happens when it comes down to it. Harden has played horrible in the playoffs. Let's see when the playoffs roll around if he can do anything.
What about the other side of that trade, the Nets? You've got Simmons, who there's no way to know. You know, it looked like Kyrie might be able to come back, and now that seems less likely with the way that the mandate thing is going to be lifted. And then, of course, Durant and his health is probably the biggest key to that team. maybe not even this year, but to me, the Nets, if everything was works out the way it should or the way it could, to me, they got the best end of that deal because they got rid of the headache that is James Harden and got a guy that fits better within what they're trying to do with Durant and Kyrie.
If the dude can play, if he wants to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's he's not going to go, like, when they go to Philadelphia, he's not going to go because he's afraid of the crowd. I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I think the dude's very fragile. I personally wouldn't want either one of them on the team. I think the guy that helps the trade is Steph Curry. That's what I think. I think Steph Curry is going to help. I think he's going to help Brooklyn a lot. But obviously, if Durant's not healthy, they're done. And they're going to go ahead and lift that mandate. I think here soon, unless you've heard something right, you know, lately. I think they're going to do that. And then we'll see. But no, I don't think either one of them are winning the East. I really don't. I think Milwaukee's better than both of them, and I think Miami's better than both of them. And heck, Chicago, they're leading the division. It's all well and good they made the moves, but I don't think Harden. I say that Westbrook's not a winner. I don't think Harden's a winner either. I really don't. And Ben Simmons, I don't know what he is. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, it's a weird situation for him. Last one, Thunder. They got one of the four wins that we wanted. That we like the cutoff line was four.
Yeah.
And they've got one in two games with the win and beating Indiana, a team that they didn't want to beat anyhow. Let's take all that out of it. I watched more college basketball last week than I have all year long, and I saw a couple of the guys that are in the mix with that top three. If the Thunder lucked into the first pick, and I give you the power to make that pick, which one of those three guys do you pick for the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I'm taking Jabari Smith from Auburn. I mean, I think, I'll take any. If you take him, I'll take the other ones too. The Holmgren kid is really interesting because somebody the other day was talking about how his shoulder width is very, very small. He's not very wide. And they worry a little bit about that, like when he's inside and stuff. But, you know, he's a great shot blocker. He's got some touch. I think he'll turn out to be a really good player. My guess, he's like another Porzingis. That'd be my guess. You know, that kind of guy, which is a really good player. But I think that Jabari Smith could become a multiple all-star. And then I love Ben Chero, too. So give me any one of the three. I'll take any one of them. But if it's me, I take Smith. But that's the problem. They keep going down now. I mean, they're going to be fourth at best. So yeah, they got. I mean, that win on Friday was bad, really bad. I don't know this team. They just don't know how to tank. They just work too hard. They're not good at tanking.
No.
I'll tell you who's tanking right now would be my boy Russell Westbrook. Though.
you watched that one last
seven
night.
Seven turnovers and one assist. Is that a good ratio?
It's not. It's not at all. You know, that's that team. It's funny because anytime there's conversation, okay, who comes out of the West, it's almost like people feel the need to bring them up, and it's pointless. They are not. They may not even get into the real playoffs, much less have any shot to do anything once they get there.
Well, even LeBron doesn't think they're going to do anything. Yeah, they're done, man. What a horrible, horrible experiment this was. And, of course, LeBron's mad at the front office when, in reality, he's the one that wanted to bring in Russell Westbrook. Pretty funny, huh? It would be really cool if you could make the decisions, and if they're good, I like that. And if they're bad, I had no part of that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what LeBron's doing right now. So, that Lakers are D-U-N done. Done, done, done. Hey, before we break up here, I just want to make sure everybody out there, man, you pray for all the Ukrainians out there. It's just incredible what's happening over there. And Julie and I have been riveted to the coverage, just some of the things that are going on. We don't understand how great we have it. As people are riding around Elk City out there in western Oklahoma, mm-hmm. You know, you're just free in a great country. Imagine if there's, like, bombs going off around you, you know. Just amazing. We don't have to deal with that kind of stuff. And I just want to make sure that we all pray hard for all the great people in Ukraine.
Yeah, pretty amazing difference what happened here this weekend with that convoy staying here Saturday night in Elk City. and everybody out. You know, it was a cool event that was just kind of a spur of the moment thing. Once we knew they were staying overnight Saturday night here to see all the patriotism, and then juxtaposed to that, what you're talking about in Ukraine. And how about this? You got dudes that were heavyweight champions of the world in boxing now out there fighting alongside their own people. You think that would happen in a lot of the places here in America?
No. You think that we would ever have a president that would be wearing, like, army gear, like he was getting ready to go out and help fight?
No.
I mean, no. I mean, it's a totally different world that we don't even know what's going on. That must have been really cool out there in Oklahoma City, man, for all the truckers out there. And I know they came through Oklahoma City, and now they're going. I know they're going to be fine. I hope the people are going to treat them fine. I don't know if they're going to let them go ahead and say their piece and do what they want. It's an amazing time, and this whole Ukrainian thing is very, very scary. So, very scary.
What's coming up on the podcast today?
You know, it's interesting. The podcast is a lot about Ukraine and about the week that Julie and I had last week. Because, you know, whenever you have problems in life, there's always people that have worse. You know, you've heard people say that. Probably your mother probably told you that. But then when you have some problems like we had this week, and then you wake up the next day and you see a country being bombed and attacked, your problems seem really, really small. So it's a funny one, but it's also a very, very serious one. Today, the Julie and Jim Traver podcast, and you can join in and listen to it.
All right, man. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll check that out once it drops this afternoon, and have a good show at 2 o'clock.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
Ultimate Jim Traver joining us, as he does on Mondays throughout the year, and he's right. I mean, it's one of those things that happens every now and again, but the coolness. I mean, the videos, obviously, I was out of town. You were out of town by the time they got here.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Facebook videos were just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
With everything that was going on through here.
I've had some content sent to me. We'll have something in the news later today about that. And I thought it was cool yesterday. You know, I had to go back to the city, and I had left after the convoy had left, but there were still people on overpasses next to the road waving flags and, you know, being patriotic, and it was cool. My kid thought it was for her. It wasn't.
You don't need to bust their bubbles, Jared.
No, it was neat. Really neat.
It is. No doubt.
Kudos to the IOC.
Did they drop Russia now?
They are calling for Russia to be excluded from sports.
A lot of people not wanting them in the World Cup coming up, too. So
rightfully so.
Yeah. We'll see how that ends up. Everybody have a great Monday. High School Hoops all over the network today.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!